Good evening, everybody. I'm going to ask Victoria to come and share something.
So whilst we were worshipping, a verse came to me. It's Matthew 12:18-21. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not suffer out. Till he has brought justice through victory, in his name the nations will put their hope.
Amen. Just pray for
her. Father God, we just hope that everyone we know you for your servants and we worship you.
Yeah.
Help us do everything in our life around you.
Yes.
Our life is focusing on you.
Amen.
We know that in hard times you will be there.
Yes.
And you will hold our hands through the through it all. Thank you.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
That woman of God is such an awesome woman of God. We, as you know, we went to Estonia a couple of weeks ago, and for me, there were lots of highlights, but for me, she was one of my major highlights. To see God use her and minister in her and through her, honestly, guys, I know you are proud of her, but we were all, as a team, we were incredibly proud of her, and I was very proud of you, Victoria, I told you. And to Gianluca and to Dean, one of the things I think I spoke over Victoria in one of our team meetings was that God wants to take you back and he wants to use you powerfully in your church. He really does. And that was not something I said lightly. I fundamentally believe that to be the case. You are uniquely gifted by the Lord. And I turned around to her when John was saying, if there's anyone who has words, and I said to her, have you got a word? Because I felt you had a word. And you know, sometimes we just need a bit of encouragement, don't we? And the Lord encouraged you to share that word. So thank you so much, Victoria. Well done. Well done. And you know, it's also not easy to do it on your home turf. It's much easier when you're away and no one knows you. She was ministering to people, leading people to Christ. She was praying for healing over people. She did amazing, as did the whole team. And Jairo as well was there, and he did amazing as well, and really was fantastic. And bless you guys. Next week, actually, next Sunday evening, we've actually got Alan Osborne coming to preach here. So our missionary in Estonia is going to be coming here next Sunday evening. So it's going to be great. And I think I might be bringing a whole load of Estonian team to get together as well. So watch out next Sunday night. Get here early because you might need to get your seat. Let's just pray. I know Jan's already prayed, but let's just wait on the Lord. Just be still. Be still and know that he is God. Be still and know that he is our shepherd. As we were worshipping this evening, I just really sense the Lord saying, and this is nothing new, we've heard it before, but I just really sense the Lord saying that he wants to use this church, which is good to hear. He wants to use this church. And, you know, God has a habit of using small things. People that perhaps we wouldn't necessarily think that he would use. And the Bible says he uses the foolish things of this world to do what? Confound the wise. I believe he uses the small things of this world as well to do great things for him. If you look over history, if you look at revivals that have gone on around the world, they've often started off very small. Kind of semi-joked with our leadership team this week when we met and we heard about one person coming. Today I've heard two people came. You know, God will use the small beginnings. And with a few faithful people that serve this church, with a few people who sold out for Jesus, with a few people that say, I'm here, Lord, send me. with a few people like Victoria who are prepared to go out of their comfort zone and step forward, God will do great things. With a few people who have said, like Jeff and others of you, I'm here and I'm going to give the Lord my time. I don't necessarily have all the answers, but we're gonna push forward. We're going to print some leaflets and we're going to take them round to every home and we're just going to see what the Lord does. Don't be despondent that only three have responded so far. Out of small beginnings, God will do great things. And the Welsh revival started with two or three people praying. And out of that came revival around not just one country, but many. Don't give up on the small things. Don't be despondent on the small things. Keep on keeping on. Keep on pushing forward. Keep on being faithful. Keep on stepping out. Keep on doing things, even though you think that things are seemingly not being profitable. Keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. Because just when the Lord says, boom, I believe it. Do you? I believe that revival is coming. When we look around, it may not think like it is, but it is. Small. In small ways. In small ways. I'm told there's a gentle revival going across this nation. And that's how it's beginning. But I believe that it's going to come. And it's going to be very, very loud. Very, very soon. I'm believing that with all my heart. We saw the revival in East London, in Barking, a few weeks ago, we saw 30 people give their lives to Jesus. This week, we've seen three people come into the church that had never been into this church before that I know of. This morning, at Barking, Joe was preaching. Three people gave their lives to Jesus. Small beginnings. But God is at work. God is at work. God is doing something. And he just requires us to be ready for him. And so tonight's title is Get Ready. Go and get ready. What about you? But when I'm going on a trip, when I'm doing something, there's a sense of having to prepare. I had to prepare to even come here this evening. So I had to give myself a bit of a freshen up, we call it a swill. Do you know what I mean by a swill? Kind of just freshen your space, just freshen it up. I had to prepare yourself. I had to spend some time during the week as to what the Lord wanted me to speak on. I had to prepare. When we were going to Estonia, we told everybody, you've got to prepare a words to preach. You've got to prepare your testimony to speak. You've got to be prepared that when Lloyd calls upon you, or Adriana calls upon you, or Alan, you've got to be there ready to give it, which is why I did it tonight with Victoria, because we've got to be ready. We've got to be ready. We've got to get ready. This church, get ready. Because God is doing great things. But he wants to do even greater. And it's not easy. It's hard work. And some of you have gone through some tough times and will continue to go through them. And some of you will be offended by decisions that are taken. And some of you will be upset by people saying things that are wrong. Let's not lose our focus. Because God is doing great things. And God wants to do even greater things. And God will do even greater things. And we need to get ready. We need to get ready. I want every single person in this room to see the prophetic vision happen in your lifetime. Prophetic words that have been spoken in this church, prophetic words that have been spoken over Essex and East London of this tidal wave coming through the estuary, going down into onto the River Thames, affecting either communities on either side of the river. I want every single one of you to see it. I want every single one of us to be part of it. But we've got to get ready. Joshua says in Joshua chapter 3 verse 5, he says this, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Consecrate yourselves, for the Lord will do great wonders among you. What does consecration mean? It means to set oneself apart. It means to get ready for what God wants to do in us. Consecrate means to make yourself holy, pure, ready for what God wants to do in us and through us. It comes from the Hebrew word kadesh, which means sanctified, set apart. To veer away from anything that is unclean, anything that is unholy, anything that is not righteous. Be focused on all that is pure and holy and all that is godly. It's about living a life of dedication to God and the service of God, to be holy, to set oneself apart for the Lord. Leviticus chapter 20 says this, similar to what Joshua says. He says, consecrate yourselves therefore and be holy. This is the Lord speaking. And be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. For 40 years, the children of God, the people of God, had wandered around in the wilderness. For 40 years. And instead of an 11-day journey, they took 40 years. And I know you know this. And it took them so long because they weren't ready. It took them so long because they were moaning and groaning and grumbling. Their lack of faith, their lack of trust, their lack of not being prepared meant they weren't ready to enter. They weren't ready to see what God wanted for them, to be part of what God wanted. A whole generation died having heard the promise of entering the promised land. A whole generation of God's people wiped out, gone, died, buried in the wilderness. But here, as Joshua speaks to the people of God, there's a new generation rising up. There's a new generation waiting and willing to enter into the promised land. Moses had gone, had died, handed over the leadership to Joshua. And at this particular time, mourning had just completed. And Joshua was now being called by God to prepare the people to cross over the Jordan into the promised land. Joshua was ready. He was ready to take on the mantle that God had given to him. And having waited for 3 days on the banks of the Jordan before crossing, Joshua now sends his officers throughout the camp, throughout the Israelites, throughout the people of God, and instructs them to get ready. He says, keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. Keep your eyes on God. Follow it wherever it goes. Don't stop looking at it. Keep on looking at the covenant. Keep on looking at the ark. And then he says this, which we've just read. Consecrate yourselves. So the officers are going around the whole... And these are the words that they're saying. Consecrate yourselves, because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on the ark. We know that the Levitical priests carried the ark. And Joshua tells his officers, tell them to keep their eyes on the ark and to consecrate themselves. And the promise is, the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. The people of God were to set themselves apart. They were to get ready. The very next day they were to leave. And Joshua is saying, consecrate yourself. Because you see, Joshua knew that in order for God to use them, in order for them to be able to enter the promise of God, the promised land, they needed to consecrate themselves. They needed to get themselves ready. They needed to get their eyes off self and put them onto God. Remember? Take your eyes off self and look to the Ark of the Covenant. Wherever it goes, you follow. Consecrate yourselves. Set yourselves apart. Make yourselves holy, because God wants to do great things amongst us tomorrow. We all want to be used by God, don't we? In one way or another. I'm sure if I were to ask everybody to put their hands, if you want to be, everybody's hand would go up. Most people desire to be used by God. But I wonder, are we all ready to be used by Him? I wonder, are we really prepared to be used by God? You see, Joshua recognized that in order to be used by God, they needed to be consecrated. In order to be ready to be used by God, they needed to be set apart for God. In order to be used by God, they needed to be 100% sold out, committed, eyes focused on God. You see, consecration is not about perfection, but it's about 100% surrender. In order to be used by God, we're not looking for perfection. God isn't looking for perfection. There's only one who's perfect. His name is Jesus. But what he's looking for, what God is looking for, is a consecrated heart. What God is looking for is a heart that is surrendered. A heart that is focused on him. And so he calls us Ashendon Elim, Rayleigh Elim, East Gateway Elim. Get ready. Consecrate yourselves. Set yourselves apart. God's call upon our lives is for each one of us to set ourselves apart for Him. In order for us to answer His call, we need to be ready. In order to be in the place ready for Him to use us, in order for us to go to the promised land, in order for us to experience this revival that He's talked about over many, many years, He says to us today, what's the date today? 19th of September, October? 2025. At least I got the date right, the year right. He calls us today. Here, in this little church, in this little town, in Essex, in this little country, he says, get ready. Consecrate yourself. See, the call of God is to serve. And being a servant requires preparation. Before participation. Think about that. the call of God upon our lives requires preparation before we participate. If you think about people going out onto the battlefield, you need to prepare before you go in to participate. If you think about the job that you've been called to, a nurse, an accountant, a teacher, whatever that job is that you've been called to, a counselor, you had to go through preparation in order for you to participate in that role, yes? University, courses, training, whatever it may be. And in the same way, God wants to use us in His service, there needs to be a period of preparation. And that preparation is called consecration. That preparation, we can't send you on a course to know how best to do it. You've just got to do it. It's about surrendering. It's about coming to Jesus. It's about focusing on the cross. And getting your lives right with Him. So God requires us to prepare before we participate. And how we prepare ourselves? Well, first of all, Jesus calls us to deny ourselves. In Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus says, and I know I've spoken on this before here, then He said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. See, consecration is the act of setting ourselves apart for God's purposes. It's about us getting ready. And Jesus says one of the ways in which we get ready is to deny self. One of the ways in which we consecrate ourselves is by denying ourselves. Now that kind of goes against what the world says, doesn't it? The world doesn't talk about denying self. It says embrace yourself. Focus on self. That's what the world teaches us. But the Bible says, deny ourselves. If we want to be a follower of Jesus, if we want to be prepared, if we want to be used by God in building His kingdom, then Jesus says we must deny ourselves. We must pick up our cross and we must follow Him. That's all part of consecration, to deny ourselves. Setting ourselves apart for God's purpose. We don't hear much in church about denying self, generally speaking. We don't hear much, it's not very popular to talk about carrying your cross. Not popular, but that's what Jesus tells us to do. That's the life He calls us to. The Bible tells us that we're to deny self, to die to self. My son got baptized last Sunday night. It was amazing. We had 8 people get baptized last Sunday night. Baptism is a symbol of dying to self and being raised to new life. Denying self, carrying the cross, that's about consecration. But what about when I really feel hurt and offended by someone? The Bible says, deny those feelings. They're dead. They're dead. But what about when I really want that, whatever it is? Well, the Bible says, deny those feelings and follow Jesus. That's what consecration is about. It's about giving up me, 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 and living for Jesus. It's about giving up what I want and my rights and following Jesus. Keep your eyes on the ark. Consecrate yourself. Jesus says, deny yourself and carry my cross. Is that the life that you're living? Please don't answer that question. Out loud, anyway. But is that the life that you're living? Are you living that kind of denying of self? Or are you constantly going through the battle of what about me, 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 what about me? What about what I want? What about what I feel? What about... I don't read that in here. I don't read that in the Word of God. What I read about is a life that's devoted to Jesus. What I read about are men and women who deny themselves to the point of death for Jesus. That's the kind of life that I live, that I read in here. And what I see across the world are men and women who are so devoted to Jesus that they're willing to give up their lives to follow him. They're willing to give up their lives just to have one of these. Men and women who've denied self. You see, that's the life of consecration. So why is consecration so important? Why is it so necessary? Firstly, because God is holy. 1 Peter 1:15 says this, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." So it's important for us to be holy. It's important for us to live a consecrated life. Why? Because God is holy. I don't know about you, but I want to become like Jesus. That's my aim. That's my desire. Less of me, more of him. I want to be asking that question, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? Less of Lloyd, more of Jesus. What did John the Baptist say? He says, I must decrease so he may increase. And that's the kind of life that I want to live. Because he is holy. Therefore, we are called to be holy. Secondly, service without consecration is empty. Let me say that again. Service without consecration is meaningless, is empty. What am I talking about? Well, let me refer to 1 Samuel 15, where we see Saul, offering sacrifices which God hadn't told him to do, but he did it nonetheless, rejecting God, King Saul. He did it because he thought it would please God, but God never told him to do it. Let me read it. 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as he does in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." You see, in consecration, God desires us to live a life of obedience. Service without consecration is empty. King Saul served God. He thought he was doing what was right by doing what he hadn't been asked to do. And in doing what he hadn't been asked to do, he was disobeying God. You see, service without holiness is empty. Service without obedience is empty. We need to ensure we're living a life of obedience if we want to be holy, if we truly want to serve the Lord, if we truly want to see Ashington saved, if we truly want our neighbours, if we truly want members of our family that don't know Jesus, then we need to ensure that we're living a life of obedience. That we're not just hearing the word, but that we're doing it. Thirdly, because God uses clean vessels. 2 Timothy 2:20 says this, in a large house there are vessels of honour and dishonour. If anyone cleanses himself, he will be a vessel of honour, sanctified and useful to the master. So you see, it's important that we are consecrated. It is important that we're living a life of obedience. It's important that we're living in holiness because God uses clean vessels. God uses those of us that are sanctified, those of us that are consecrated, those of us that are set apart for Him, those of us that obey His word. God uses. I want to be a church that God uses. He will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful. Useful. Useful to the master. I want to be useful. I don't want to be a pew warmer. I don't want to be just taking up a space. I want to be useful to God. Do you? So what does consecration look like? Consecration is surrendering of the will. It's saying, not my will, but yours. It's about living your life in obedience. Whatever that takes. I'm going to refer back to Victoria. There are times I know when she was asked to do things on mission that she didn't want to do, but she did them. And look what God did, eh? You see, Jesus says, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus says, I only do that which the Father wants me to do. Living a life of consecration is about doing the will of Jesus. Secondly, it's about separation from sin. Don't worry, I'll raise my voice so that everyone can hear. It's fine. I don't need this anyway. Separation from sin. It's about renouncing anything that is not of God. Anything in our lives that are not pleasing to God. It's about renouncing. It's about getting rid of. If you think I'm shouting now, blame the microphone. Because I'm trying to make myself heard now. Okay. I've been quite quiet now. Some of you have been falling asleep. I've noticed because I've been speaking quietly. Okay. So what does consecration look like? It's about surrendering the will to God's will. Secondly, it's about separation. You give me duff microphones, aren't you? Two. Switch it on, John Luke. It's about separation from sin. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 says, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything. Huh? Some things? A little bit? everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Is there something in your life that is contaminating your body? I know I don't always eat the right foods. It may surprise you, yeah. And I know that when I don't eat the right food, it contaminates my body. I feel ill, or I feel lethargic. I don't have the right amount of energy that I should. In the same way, if there are things in our lives that we shouldn't be involved with, the Bible says, let us get rid of everything that contaminates the body. Let us purify ourselves. In other words, let's live separate from sin. And maybe sometimes we need to be radical. Maybe sometimes we need to remove the television if it's causing us to sin. And maybe that sometimes we need to get rid of our mobile phones if it's causing us to sin. If it's causing to look at things we shouldn't be looking at. Maybe we need to get rid of that romance novel that is maybe causing us to dream about romance in ways we shouldn't be dreaming about such things. What's causing sin in your life? What are those things that you're constantly feeling you're battling with? The Bible tells you to separate from it. The Bible tells me to separate from it. So what does consecration look like? It's about surrendering to the will of Jesus. It's about separation from sin. Thirdly, it's about living a life of true worship. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is a true and proper worship. Worship isn't just about singing a few songs. Worship's far more than that. Worship is about living, offering our bodies, saying all to you, Jesus, it's all for you. True worship is about getting on the altar and laying yourself down at the altar and saying, whatever I feel, Jesus, I'm yours. Whatever I want to do, I'm yours. Whatever offense I'm carrying, whatever this I'm carrying, it's yours, Jesus. I'm laying down my rights. I'm laying down my life. I'm laying down all those things that I'm surrendering to you, to your will. That's what true worship is. Living a life of total surrender. And so Joshua is saying, men, women, if you want to enter the promised land, consecrate yourselves. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on the ark and set yourself apart tonight. Right now. Right now. Don't mess around. Do it now. Because tomorrow the Lord will do great things. I don't believe that God just wants more people to post leaflets through the doors. I'm sorry, Jeff. I don't think that God just wants more people to help with Sunday school. I don't believe that God wants more people in the worship team. Sorry, Jan. I don't believe God wants more people to do these things. What I believe most of all is God wants the right people with the right heart, the right attitude. Attitude, by the way, is a pattern of thinking. I believe God wants holy men and women set apart for his service. And so before we pick up our tools to serve God, let us lay down our hearts in surrender. Before we pick up a bunch of leaflets to go and deliver, before we pick up an instrument, before we, whatever it is, before we go and serve, let us first of all lay down our hearts and surrender to him. Before we open our mouths, before we preach that preach, before we give that word, before we go and care for that lonely person, before we go and visit that person in hospital, before we do this, let's lay our lives down before the Lord in total surrender. Ask yourself this question right now. Lord, am I truly set apart for you? Maybe ask the worship team to just come back. And I want you to ask yourself that question. Am I truly, truly set apart for God? Or am I just busy with activity? Am I truly consecrated? Am I truly living for Jesus or am I living for self? Because Ashington Ealing, God is looking for a people who are totally devoted for Him. His eyes are wandering, looking to see who will serve Him. To see who will say, all to Jesus, I surrender. And then, here am I, Lord. Send me. But let's get the right way round. Let's deny ourselves. And let's live for Jesus. And let's give it all to Jesus. Let's surrender all to Jesus. And let's see the great things that He will do tomorrow. Let's pray. So let us consecrate ourselves today, tonight. Let's consecrate our hearts, consecrate our hands, our feet, our mouths, our minds, our whole bodies, our whole lives. Let's set ourselves apart for Him. So that tomorrow and in the days ahead, God may do wonders amongst us. Are you prepared to say to Jesus, I surrender. I give it all away to you. I consecrate my life for you. I give you my heart. I give you my very life. I give you all that I have. I will serve you. Father, take my hands, take my heart, take my mouth, take my feet, take my whole body, my whole being, as I surrender to you, as I purify myself, as I set myself apart for you tonight. I choose to live for you. I choose to go your way. I choose to follow your will and not my own. I choose to separate from sin. I choose to live a life of true worship. I lay my life down for you, Lord. Have your way in me. Have your way in this church.